forever. Dog.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of Literati, a podcast about books and the idiots who write them. Now, we are beyond thrilled to have you, our listening audience, because, like ourselves, you're lovers of all things literary.
And we do it all for you guys, the listeners who still believe in the power of reading and writing.
Now, if you don't believe in the power of literature, maybe this'll sway you. I was once brought to tears by Philip Roth's Portnoy's Complaint, and I'm talking full-on weeping, when I realized I was going to have to read the entire book if I wanted to pass eighth grade. I thought I could just read the Spark Notes, but my English teacher was a bit of a hard ass. I had to read the whole goddamn book, and that really upset me.
And as for me, I'm always misplacing my tools and often have to use a hardcover book instead of a hammer when I'm, I don't know, say, putting up shelves to hold all my trophies from my full contact yoga classes or when hanging up one of my many framed Fight Club posters. I'm collecting all of them.
So now you know the true power of literature. Mm. And trust us when we say that art has the power to change the world.
But in an interesting twist, the world also has the power to change art. Did you know that, Colin?
I did know that, Michael. I'm the one who wrote this intro.
I know. I'm just reading the script you gave me. Also, it says here that I should mention that I have a nasty, jacked up face and a body that stinks like dead cheese.
Oh, Michael, don't say that. You can't help it.
Also, apparently, I would like to point out that Green Book is my favorite movie of all time, and I thought its Academy Award for Best Picture was very well deserved.
Okay, Michael, let's not get off track. I mean, also, who knows if that reference will still be relevant when this podcast comes out.
I mean, we're recording it in 2012, so should still be.
Should still be relevant. Anyway, let's get back to the matter at hand. Now, while art can bring about change and cultural shifts in the world, the environment in which art is created can also have an effect on the art that's being created.
And not only that, but art can affect art. I mean, new artistic movements often arise as reactions to old artistic ways. Impressionism was a reaction to Romanticism. The Dilbert cartoons were a reaction to postmodernism.
Art is constantly morphing and changing.
As an artist, it's important to look at what's come before and think, where can I go from here? How can I make it better?
Yeah, things can get stale, and so a simple way to breathe new life into a worn-out style of writing that's no longer exciting is to combine it with something else old and worn out in order to create something fresh and new.
Think of it like an old boring couple who aren't fun anymore and have nothing left to contribute to society. So they combine their lame, dusty old DNA, probably doing boring missionary position because they're so boring, in order to create a cool new kick-ass kid that's totally rad, and as a teenager will probably get into skateboarding and start cutting class to smoke cigarettes. So cool.
So freaking cool. And within the art world, there have been so many examples of artists combining different styles or forms of artistic expression to create something new and exciting. Rap metal is an excellent example of this.
Another excellent example would be rap rock.
Yes.
And you can do this in literature too. You have the ability to create a literary equivalent of rap rock. Now, Colin and I are pioneers at the forefront of a new literary movement, and we're constantly innovating and on the lookout for hip new trends in literature.
Exactly. Think of us like the Korns or the Limp Bizkits of literature.
Mm.
And so now this is going to be an ongoing segment called Genre Bending, where Michael and I will take two old, out-of-date, no longer exciting styles of writing and combine them to make something new and exhilarating.
For today's genre bending segment, we're going to be facing our fears, so to speak, by combining poetry, which we hate with a passion and avoid at all costs, and horror, which fucking scares the shit out of us. So we present to you our
horror haikus. And guys, just a reminder, all of these can be found in our book of collected horror haikus entitled Something Wicked This Way Poems. Okay, here we go. First one. blood splattered on walls. Escaped demons from inside. Night falls. Gremlins lurk.
Okay, I've got one now. That was great.
Thank you.
I really like that. Spooky.
Very spooky.
And also
stuff.
That kept the 5-7-5.
Yep,
format.
5-7-5, baby. That's how
wow.
I do it.
Nothing really speaks to me like hefty restrictions.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, my turn. Hell's portal opens. Fire creatures walk amongst us. Evil reigns supreme.
That is terrifying.
Right?
Yes.
It's based off a dream I had.
Oh, wow, no way. Okay, you ready for another one?
Yep.
Monsters are so bad. I hate their claws and big fangs. That one bit my face.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, you really painted a picture.
Yeah. It's like these poems are getting better, it feels like.
It's exactly like that. Okay, now let me try another, probably much better one.
Yep.
Creepy spiders and cobwebs hanging from the roof. Gotta clean my house.
I love ending the first line on an and.
It's a good way to say, hey, I'm writing a haiku.
It's a cliffhanger in a way. All right, here's another one. Zombies are dead guys who will not remain buried, just like Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Did you pick up on the subtle religious imagery there?
I don't think I did.
Well, it's there when you go back and look at it again.
Okay, I might not have time.
Fair enough.
Okay, and last one. Sunny day in a field. Cute puppies run to greet you. Just kidding, it's a pack of fucking monsters, and they're gonna rip you to shreds, you little nerd.
Whoa, that one was incredible. It does break the structure of a haiku in that last line, but I think it's still effective.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I only broke the rule because I know the rule and I hate the rule.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's like once you understand a rule and you like work within those restrictions, then you can break them.
That's why I drunk drive.
That's
because
right.
I know that the rule says don't do it, but now that I know the rule, I can break it.
You can break it because you know it. But you know, we have a guest on who might be breaking some rules themselves.
And talking about genre bending, they have combined two genres that I don't think I've really known that much about independently, let alone together. They have written fantasy self-help novels.
Bringing together fantasy and self-help? That sounds exciting.
Yeah, that's very cool. Now, I believe the book is entitled something along the lines of Boys, 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 What's With All That Stuff They Do? And it might go on longer from that, but that's for the author to tell you.
My one critique was going to be that title's not long enough. So I hope it goes on longer.
Please welcome Cassandra.
Hey, yes, hello. My name is Cassandra, and I am the author of several ebooks, roller coaster park pamphlets, only the fake Snapple cap facts, and popsicle stick jokes. Like, who's on first? Not your daddy, he got cut from the baseball team. But today I'm gonna focus on my ebooks, which are all about living large and in charge, and you being you so hard that people wanna slap your pussy off. But you can't slap Cassandra's pussy off, cause it's sewn on tight as hell after my umbrella is a bike chair incident. Thank goodness for Obamacare. Yeah, not Obamacare. Obamacare is when I pretend to be my mom every time I go to the doctor since I'm 27 and clearly freelance.
Damn, the 70s was something, huh? Now let me get my titties checked, Nurse Miriam, please.
Today I'm going to read an excerpt from my self-help book titled Boys, 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 What's Up With All That Stuff That They Do? I don't really get it, Cassandra, but I want to. Can you help me? Question mark. It's a book that's near and dear to my heart and took me 5 hours to write, which is a long time, and is a page and a half. But anything is a book if it goes swish swish. My audiobook features me making the sounds of the pages turning. Whoosh. Whoosh. And the sound of someone licking, you know, and when they get stuck. Whoosh. That's 4D. Here is an excerpt. I once saw a boy tucking his shirt, and I asked myself, why he do that? Did it used to be tucked and become untucked? Was it always untucked, and now he was like, I think I'd like a nice tuck? Was he insecure about his stomach? Did he love his stomach? Was his stomach a show-off? Was his stomach have secrets like the chamber from Harry Potter with the Horcrux? Was his stomach a Horcrux? Was he Voldemort? Was I a muggle even though I thought of myself as a wish for years? Or worse, was I a squib? Cassandra, quit looking at my dick, the boy said. Oh, sorry, my friend. I saw you tucking your shirt and I got curious about why, me says. My friend had thought I was staring at his dick, but I wasn't. I was staring at his tuck. Cassandra, this is so dumb. I got to go. Then he left. The waiter came to drop the bill. I pick it up and see that it is for $1,000? My friend had ordered caviar, and I totally forgot. I didn't have $1,000, so I decided to run. But I had learned a thing or two about boys in the process. They don't always make sense, but at the end of the day, we all got to sleep. This is where people would clap. Epilogue. You know how everybody loves Raymond, but everybody hates Chris? Something to think about. Please check out my next ebook titled Sugar Packets as Hats and Other Fun Ways to Potentially End Racism in America. And my next roller coaster park pamphlet, These Things Are Tall and Fast? Shit, Daniel! Thank you.
My goodness. Cassandra, what a powerful reading.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
I have, I would say, at least 1,000 questions.
I know 1,000 questions.
Oh, wow.
I've known to have 1,000 questions.
What's one of them?
When did I get here?
Okay. Right. That's actually one that we can answer.
That's, about 5 minutes ago.
And did you get here?
Ooh, good question. Yeah. Colin and I were here a little bit earlier than that, about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, okay. I can see there's a line of questioning. We had to record
I wasn't asking a question. I said, when? I was crying for a second.
Oh, a small cry.
It was a little cry.
Just because you know that we were here so early, wasting our time in the studio without you.
Or was it more like crying out of boredom from our story?
I just got depressed thinking about birds.
Huh. Birds are kind of sad, aren't they?
I saw one that I thought was dead today, but it was alive.
Oh, gosh, what a shock.
What is a sadder fate for a bird, to be alive or to be dead?
Both.
You really can't win as a bird.
You notice how all the pigeons, all of their feet are messed up? Every single pigeon?
Yeah. They're all pigeon-toed.
They all got stuck.
Nasty, stuck little feet.
Like a little captain.
And scaly, too, I gotta say. I know that's most birds.
I think most birds
are dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's true. Birds are dinosaurs.
I wish they went extinct.
Colin, on the record, dinosaurs, birds.
I wish dinosaurs stuck around, but I wish birds went extinct.
Huh.
Cassandra, there's a poetic nature to the questions you're asking. They're almost like these Zen koans that the question is the answer, is the question, and I'm so perplexed, or you're crazy.
I don't think that you can call women crazy.
That is fair. Yeah, Michael, come on.
That one's on me. I will admit fault and I won't talk for the rest of the interview.
Ultimately, you both invited me, so I believe you enjoy my work to some degree.
Cassandra, I want to formally apologize.
Thank you.
And I'd like to rewind this, and I want to start with what I would call a carte blanche question.
Yes, carte blanche. Nothing's on the cart.
It's a totally empty cart.
Did you see that movie Blank Check?
Where the kid gets a lot of money?
The kid gets a blank check.
And he spends it on trucks full of Oreos.
On fun stuff.
Yeah.
I always thought that kid was Macaulay Culkin. It's not Macaulay
Culkin. It's not Macaulay Culkin.
Another little blonde.
Is it the one from Home Improvement?
How much money How much money did he put on the...
You know? Did you watch it?
Blank Check or Home Improvement?
Home Improvement. Yeah.
My favorite character was Wilson because I love mystery.
The little hat.
I think the most intriguing thing is when there's something you cannot know.
Boo, you know.
What's under that ghost's sheet?
What? Is the ghost in bed?
You said boo.
What's under the ghost sheet? Ghost asleep?
Yeah, do ghosts sleep?
Ghosts have sheets on them, right?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, usually ghosts are sleeping.
Again, I feel like I just want to get back to the carte blanche question.
Yes, empty cart. Nothing's in the cart. What? Let's put it in.
Let's put something in the cards.
When
Let's
did go you start writing?
Seven. I was seven.
Wow. So what was that like to be a seven-year-old making your way through literature?
It was very intimidating.
Mm.
There are a lot of people who are very good, but I self-published.
Mm-hmm.
I would write things, and then I would put them in the Barnes & Noble when I would go with my mother. I'd put them in stacks and say how much they were.
Sneak
and
them in.
Sometimes people would go up to the front and buy them, and they'd say, "Why did you? This isn't from here." And they'd say, "I'd like to get it." And so
did you have to draw on your little like barcode on the back? Yeah.
And would that money ever get back to you?
No.
Yeah, that's what's tough. It is a cutthroat publishing industry. And if you're not in one of the big publishing houses, if you're self-publishing, often you don't get a penny of that. The Barnes & Nobles, the Waldens, the Borders, they will soak it all up.
They took it all. They took all of my money.
That's terrible.
That's heartbreaking.
I wish I had a publishing house.
I wish I had a house. I'm living in a tiny apartment.
Yes.
So, and you're just renting out a bedroom in an apartment. You don't even have the whole thing.
I'm renting out a bathroom in an apartment.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
It is. It's nice to have a place to go that's just for me.
But it is cool because you share a bunk bath with
it's a lumped bathtub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm on the second bathtub.
Yeah.
The higher one.
A bathtub above the bathtub.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bunk baths.
Cool.
It's a very popular thing in
France.
In France.
Yeah, that's bunk bigger baths. Than. So what were you writing Bonjour. About at age seven? Oui. Garçon.
Gracias. Cassandra,
don't tell me your
garçon inside of my bag. Yes, I also have been to France.
You're fluent in French.
Yes. Wow.
That's very impressive.
Yes. Now, have you tried bringing your writing over to, I don't know what kind of bookstores they have in France. I don't know if they have Barnes & Nobles over there. Have you tried bringing your work over there?
I've tried. They won't let me bring it on the plane.
Really? Kind of hard to get through TSA?
It looks like a bomb.
Really? So what kind of, how are you writing or packaging this writing?
All of my books look like bombs because they're going to explode your brain.
Right, of course.
That well, yeah, it's a metaphor. And that's so frustrating here that they just don't get that.
A lot of Colin's writing looks like EKG machines because they're going to break your heart.
That's smart. That's very wise.
And a lot of my writing looks, when I bind it, it looks like a big leather boot because it's going to kick your ass.
That's nice.
It's good. It's a good way to
have packaging that matches what you're going
yes,
to get.
Yes, especially when it's either literal or figurative. I got to ask, were the books that you were putting in Barnes & Noble, did they look like bombs as well?
No, they looked like me.
They looked like meat?
Me?
Oh, they looked like you.
Okay.
Okay. That's
like
fun.
Like full size?
I cut them out to look like a little me.
Oh, like a little you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I wrote inside of me.
Did you?
They were about
I'm
me.
I'm creeped out.
Did it look like if you pull the books across that it like looked like your eyes were just like yeah, like your eyes were just looking over the bookshelf.
If you open up this book, did it look like ripping open a human being?
A little bit, yes.
Weird.
That was the goal.
Why would you do that?
To provoke thoughts in the minds of the viewer.
Art has to provoke people. It has to.
Yes.
Otherwise, what are you doing?
I wanted people to feel like they were digging inside of a 7-year-old.
Yeah, that's I mean, isn't all when you're reading someone and when you're engaging with someone's art, you're digging around in their insides.
Yes. Grabbing at what they can, taking out what they like.
And just leaving this exquisite corpse afterwards.
Yes.
So, Cassandra, that was you at seven. You were writing these books.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you? I want to hear, like, who were your inspirations at that time? Did you have teachers teaching you to write? Was it just you soaking up the world?
I had some teachers, Mrs. Flynn.
Okay, so Mrs. Flynn,
wow. So she had a big impact on your life?
Yes, she taught science.
Okay.
Okay,
cool. So you kind of pulled from the natural world?
She also taught PE.
Gym and science.
And she was also the principal of the school.
Wow, busy.
Flynn, you weren't by any chance homeschooled, were you?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is just a school that where Mrs. Flynn just had a bunch of different jobs.
Yes, Mrs. Flynn was the science teacher, the PE teacher, and the principal of the school.
Did she have any other jobs?
No.
No.
Okay. Colin, I feel like we're not asking the right questions. I really want to get into Cassandra's mind, and I feel like we're going in a linear path, and I think she is non-linear.
Hmm? I think you might be right. Can I ask one before? I don't know if you have the fuck you want. Cassandra, maybe, how old are you?
Me?
Yep.
I'm 27.
That threw me.
Yeah, you were thinking like 11 or, or 100.
I thought this Mrs. Flynn character might have been a more recent. No. 27. Okay.
Cassandra, bread or water?
What is it?
Bread or water?
Bread or water?
Yeah.
Bread or water?
Yeah.
Bread or water?
Okay, I'm still not asking the right question.
Bread or water? Bread or water?
Well, I think you can actually...
Bread or water.
So if you're going to drink a water, you want it filtered.
Yes.
Are you starting to get it, Michael?
I think I'm more confused than ever, but I do appreciate that you talked about the swish swish that books make.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real tactile sound. What are some of the other, I just wanted to kind of riff on, like, what are some of the other great things that we love about a book? For me, I love the of a spine, of a fresh hardcover cracking.
Yes. I like the smell of a book.
Mm.
It reminds me of when I went to my grandfather's funeral.
Mm. Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry.
Did he smell like books?
He was a book.
He was a book. Okay.
Interesting.
No, that is a joke. My grandfather was not a book.
Okay, I was taking that at face value, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yes, my grandfather was a man, and he surrounded himself with books.
Okay,
right, so as he died,
he soaked up a lot of that book smell and book essence. Interesting.
Yes, the casket was made of books.
Oh, weird. Oh,
yes, it was strange.
I would like that. I'd like a casket made of books.
I'd like a casket made of Kindles. Because then you can also get TV on some of them. You can, like, load up movies and stuff.
Are you planning to not die when you die?
Let's just say I'm not going to place any bets too far in one direction. I'm just going to say if things go a certain way and I end up waking up inside of the coffin, I don't want to be bored. I'll put a puzzle in there, stuff like that.
You don't want to be bored? You don't want to maybe live again? Go out?
I would say I'm sort of an indoors kind of guy. And I'm a little bit of a homebody.
Also, Michael, people put a lot of thought and time into that funeral.
Exactly.
It would be a little rude for you to, like...
Once I do something, once I cross a threshold, if I leave a party and I left my jacket, the jacket's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You should maybe think about getting one of those bells.
A bell?
You know the bells?
Yeah, the bells coffin? That you can ring...
Yes, to let people know that you're still alive.
That's a good idea.
So that when
do those bells work? There's
a little string inside of the coffin.
And then it goes
and then
to
it
like
goes all the way up to the surface. And then there's a little bell that'll ring. And then if anyone's walking around the cemetery, you know, looking, seeing the dead and talking to a friend, maybe having sex for the first time. And then you ring the bell and they'll say, "Oh, there's a ghost. What's going on?"
I do.
Somebody's
it must be the wind. But then it'll keep ringing, and then, you know, there'll be someone that's inside of a girl, and she'll be like, "Oh, hold on, I don't want to lose my virginity with the ghost. So maybe let's check it out, Smith." And then her and Smith go check out the ghost.
I gotta say, bold choice to lose your virginity in a graveyard. Yeah. I feel like that's more of an experience, like fifth, sixth time. But
I don't think it's bold. I think it makes a lot of sense for me, and it made a lot of sense for me and who I lost my virginity with.
Congratulations.
His name was Smith.
Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like this might have happened to you in the graveyard, and you heard a bell.
Yes.
So did you investigate?
Yeah, what did you do?
Yes, I dug into the graveyard, and then the grave man said, "You can't do that here." And I said, "Someone rang the bell." He said, "You can't just dig in a graveyard. That's illegal."
Well, then why do they put a bell there?
And yeah. Then I tried to shove him, and Smith said, "Stop."
Wow.
Into an open grave?
You assaulted an undertaker. Yes.
And I was banned from the graveyard.
So what's going to happen when you die? Are you still not allowed?
No, I'm not allowed in even after death.
Really? Because I would have just assumed it was a lifetime ban.
It's an endless ban. It's a forever ban.
Lifetime death time ban.
It's lifetime after lifetime ban?
Eternity ban.
The only problem with the bell thing for me is that when I'm in when I'm in graveyards where I'm around caskets, I typically wear my jacket that's covered in bells. So if somebody is ringing a bell, I won't hear it because I'm wearing my mourning jacket.
You're wearing a jacket covered in bells?
Yeah. I do it to scare away ghouls.
It's a bell top.
It's a bit of a bell top, yeah. A light spring bell top.
Do you wear it with bell bottoms?
And that's a joke.
And no, but I don't. Do you?
No, bell bottoms haven't been in fashion for 13, 14 years.
But they're coming back.
That can't be right.
No, I think that's the last I checked. I get Cosmo.
That math seems wrong.
Bootcut jeans are coming back.
Yeah, bootcut jeans are back in a big way. Cassandra, where do you get your ideas?
Me?
Yeah.
From the entire world.
Okay, that's so.
All of it? Even the Midwest?
When I'm looking at the Earth through a telescope that reflects back. It looks out into the universe and then it bounces back an image of the entire Earth to me.
What kind of telescope are we talking about?
I have a good cousin at NASA.
You got to get a connect.
So, and he gave me this telescope. He said, "You can't tell anyone." Actually, would you mind deleting
we'll cut this out. Cut this out.
Of course.
Absolutely. So my cousin gave me the connection to NASA telescope, and it lets you see out and then back.
That's a good connection. Is there any way we can get a peek in this telescope?
No.
Okay. Is there?
No.
Okay. What kind of stuff? What kind of crazy stuff have you seen?
I've seen the usual clouds and
daytime. That would be daytime.
And the sea. Mountains, etc. But then, every now and then you get to see like a meteor go by.
Whoa.
Or like, like a little space ship. Yeah.
Oh, holy shit. Wow. You know.
That's cool as hell.
It's cool as fuck.
It's pretty regular. It actually happens quite a lot. And
there's no way we can get a little peek into this telescope?
No, and they don't really like to go to Earth because, we have a bad planet.
Yeah. No, Colin, she's right.
They're pretty busy. They say...
You've talked to the... They said they're pretty busy?
They say, we're not going there.
Can you do when spaceships go by? Can you do that thing like people do with trucks, where they do the pulling on the horn, like spaceships?
But it's sideways.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's different.
Yeah,
I recently was using a telescope with a friend. This is true, in Greenpoint, and we were looking at the moon. Yeah, this is a bit of a brag. And I used my iPhone to take pictures through the telescope lens of the moon, of the full moon. And I was so enamored. I kept looking and I was showing my girlfriend all the pictures of the moon. And she got jealous because I was spending so much time and I made the moon photo my iPhone background. And she got really jealous of the moon in these photos because I was so happy with it and wouldn't stop talking and looking at these photos. And she was genuinely jealous.
Did you replace a picture of her as your background for the moon?
Picture of her. And I replaced it with the moon. And then anytime I talked about the moon for a couple months after, she'd get pissed.
Have you thought about taking out the moon instead? Yeah.
You mean taking out?
Take out.
Like go on a date with the moon.
I don't love long distance
She's
relationships.
The moon
I heard there
single.
Is, but I have heard there is a man in the moon.
I don't think there's a man in the moon. There's a man on top of it.
Either way, I'm not confrontational, so I don't want to get into any sort of scuffle.
I think
Michael's not a
home Armstrong.
Okay, I could probably knock that guy right on his. I could Buzz. I could take Buzz Aldrin. I could take him.
Why don't you murder them both?
Yeah. Okay, we don't like to condone murder at the top of the podcast. We save that for the end
section,
who you're going to whack.
Cassandra, what's your favorite sentence you ever wrote?
The favorite sentence I ever wrote. The favorite sentence I ever wrote. The favorite sentence that I ever wrote. Cornered by a man outside of the store, I begged, pleaded. Could I have a slice? I'd have to say that's my favorite sentence.
Wow, that's evocative. You know what question it begs?
Mm-hmm.
Slice of what?
And I'd love to say, but you'd have to read my book.
Yeah, fair enough.
You'd have to read that book.
That makes a lot of sense.
Which is a different book than the book that I read.
So how many books have you written?
Seven thousand books.
7,000 books.
It's been about
7,000
books that I've written. What the books are, people describe books are, it's many pages, it's many things. But I think that books are also just a word or two.
Okay.
That's
you might be the first person I know who's written a one word book.
Yes.
Or two.
One or two word book. That's some real John Cage shit. Cassandra, what is your job?
The books. I do the books.
Okay.
Do the books.
And you're making money. Because Colin and I have been writing for a long time, but we haven't really gotten printed or published a lot.
Yes, I'm very big in Berlin.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, international markets.
Yes.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. When it translates, it's very different. And they say it's better.
How do you
throw your book into Google Translate? I mean, these are sometimes, I guess, only a couple words or a couple sentences. Just throw it into Google Translate, or
I got a good friend named Hans.
You got a lot of good friends.
Well, Christian Anderslund.
Okay,
Hans Christian Anderslund.
And so this was the person who kind of helped you get your books into the German market.
Yes.
Wow. How'd you meet Hans Christian Anderslund?
I met Hans outside of a Chuck E. Cheese when I was a kid.
And that's in Berlin?
He was also a child in the U.S. And I was talking to him and he didn't understand me and I didn't understand him. But it was kind of fun.
Children don't need to speak with words.
Yes. And I pushed him and then he pushed me. And then I shoved him into a car and then he shoved me into a car. This was outside of the Chuck E. Cheese. Our parents were frantically looking for us both and they couldn't find us. And then we went into a hedge and we kind of did, you know, the mirror thing with your hands.
In a hedge.
You mirror each other's actions.
And then we wrote each other's numbers in our palms of our hands.
That's sweet.
Yes.
And you stayed in touch ever since then?
No, actually, mine sweated off and I forgot the whole incident until I ran into him at a bar when I was very drunk and he was drunk. And then he shoved me and he said, "Remember?" And I said,
"Into a car?"
Yes. Yeah. And I said, "Oh, Hans."
Then you shoved him into a car.
Yes. But then we started to make out and got very close. But then he said, "I'm going to Germany." And I said, "I'm a writer." And he said, "Let me take some back." And he took some of my writing. And then he said, "This is very good in Germany." And I said, "What about here?"
Yeah,
not so much.
And he was silent.
Yeah. Sometimes it's kinder not to say anything.
I think so, but we're very close. He loves me a lot, but I'm never going to move to Germany. And he says that America is shit.
Didn't you? Just like the aliens believe that the world is shit. Everybody has something that they're above.
And before you had mentioned this, before we were on the air, that when you gave him some of your writing, because they're shaped like bombs, that he got in a lot of trouble for bringing those back to Germany.
Yes, he's on the no-fly list. Yeah. That's also why we're never going to really work
it out.
Did he
have to take a boat?
Because he has to stay.
Well,
they let him fly back, but it's a no-fly back list.
No-fly back list,
so they let him in.
I have so many questions. I guess one would be, Do you still love him, and does it hurt to not be able to be near him?
I miss him being inside of me, yes.
Oh, that's not really what I was asking.
I miss when he ejaculated
in
me.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this is primarily a podcast for children.
I miss when I could feel his sperm entering my uterus, okay, trying to make a child,
yeah,
but my birth control telling it, stop.
No,
beautiful. Stop. That's beautiful.
And kicking out each of his little sperm as they drip slowly out of my vagina. And then I wipe it away and throw it into the toilet.
I have heard that's how it works, that birth control's like a goalie and sperm is like 1,000 soccer balls being lobbed.
It's very
with the
exciting.
Big mitts. The yes. Big mitts, the big yes. Goalie mitts.
Well, I guess not Mia Hamm, but you know, whoever was the goalie on her team.
Right. If I ever do get up to the moon, I'm gonna just fuck one of those craters.
You're gonna put your penis inside of a crater in the moon?
If it fits, yeah.
Is your is the crater very big, or is your penis very small?
From here, from Earth, when I look at the moon, it seems like a perfect fit. When I get up close, who knows? Okay. All the rules are off.
I can't wait to hear back.
Yeah, you're still waiting on...
Well, I'm on a no-fly list for NASA.
Yeah.
And that was not my fault.
What did you do?
So I was in Cape Canaveral.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to shoot off one of the rockets.
Yes.
And I decided, hey, this looks like fun. I should get involved. I have mm-hmm. a lot of cool ideas. Like, don't
but
go...
you like fireworks. And so,
I like
yeah.
fireworks. And I thought, okay, let's not go straight up. Let's maybe go once around the Earth
yes.
real close to the ground.
Yes.
And then go up.
Yes.
So I ran and I tied my belt around the waist of the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pretty badly burned by one of the engines.
Oh, no.
And it ruined your belt.
It ruined my belt. I was fine. Ooh. Everyone on the spaceship blew up, which was tough because it was an important one.
Oh, no.
Similarly, I am also on a no-fly list for NASA.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I like to do 4th of July at Cape Canaveral and
yeah.
We do buy a lot of fireworks and...
You set them off on
yeah,
the...
Yeah, because, I mean, they got the open space.
Yeah,
and,
that's a lot of space.
Yeah, a lot of space. Oh. And,
space to go to space.
Exactly.
You also killed one of the dogs that they'd send to space.
Yeah, I got in a fist fight with one of the monkeys, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am
pretty quick to anger around animals. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get mad because you're a... You always say, hey, I'm going to start by trying to talk out my problems.
Well, you can't. Not all of them can talk.
And I just don't like that they're cuter than me. So
all animals?
Yeah.
All of them.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Even those ones that are fish from the bottom of the sea.
They're scary.
Yeah, but look at Colin now.
Some of them are see-through. But Colin's not see-through.
Almost.
That's not very
scary. He's Irish.
But that doesn't mean that he's see-through.
Yeah, but in the middle of the winter?
If I could see his heart through his chest.
I mean, the way he writes, you pretty much can.
Oh, that was you doing a little joke.
I was doing a little joke.
Oh, that's so fun.
Cassandra, so your job, you are a professional author, and that's how you make your money.
I'm a professional author, and that's how I make my money.
In Germany.
In Germany, I make professional
author. Here, not so much.
What's a day like for you writing? Do you have a specific process?
Yes. First I'll wake up, make a little coffee.
And what is that the sound of?
That's just the sound of the coffee going off.
Okay.
And
go off coffee.
Oh, yes. And so that's the coffee. I pour it into the cups. I like to pour myself too, even though it's just me.
Isn't there something so romantic about coffee in the morning for a writer?
Yes.
Colin, what do you think?
I'd say so. You didn't ask me again, but I would just agree again.
Well, you said yes.
Oh, okay.
Cassandra, do you think that there's something romantic about coffee in the morning for a writer?
Yes. Oh. Oh. I guess I'll add a little milk. Not too much. And a little bit of sugar. Oh, so perfect. No, you. I'm so cold. I'm sorry. You're so hot. Oh. friends are right now. Just kidding. The only important one is you. I think so.
Colin, same question.
Well, I don't know if this is what you were doing. I like to give each of the beans a little kiss before I put them in the grinder.
What's that sound like?
Those are very pert kisses.
Michael, there's a lot of beans to get through, so okay. If you please don't interrupt me.
Wow.
Okay. Long.
Well, you get the idea. So yeah. I kiss all the beans.
Wow. You kiss the grinder.
I turn the grinder on. And then I try to kiss it. Well, you can see my lips are all cut up.
Yeah, I thought that was just the cold winter.
I did
winter.
Notice. I thought also maybe you had lipstick on. They were very red, like blood.
No. I just like to kiss quickly rotating blades.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
So you start your day, your process of writing, by making a cup of coffee, two cups of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
What's after that?
And then I lie down, face down in my bed, and I scream for about an hour.
Okay.
Perhaps an hour and a half, depending on what I ate the night before. But just to let the rage out of the day.
Mm. A primal scream.
Mm. I just scream and scream and scream, and I pound my arms into my bed, and maybe I tear something. And then I get up with a big smile on my face, and I start bouncing around, and I play that song that's like,
oh, the Hall & Oates.
Yes, yeah. I play that song, except I do a parody of it.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask, I don't think we have the rights to the song, but I do think we're cleared for parody use.
Yeah.
Yes, I sing a parody of it, so I don't sing any of the lyrics. I just say, Cassandra, you gotta get up out of bed. Yeah, yeah, you gotta get up. Yeah, you do gotta get up. I also don't sing it in rhythm on purpose.
Sure.
Because I want to start my day unexpected.
You're also parodying the rhythm and the melody of the song.
Mm. I'm parodying the rhythm, the melody, the lyrics, so much so that you might say I've created my own song, but some people... I wouldn't looked at it that way.
Right.
It is a parody. I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, no. I was going to say, you see it as a parody song.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, an outsider, might see it as pure nonsense. But
I don't think they would see it as nonsense. I think they'd see it as music.
Probably.
So after I finish that, I get up and I go and get my computer. I flip it open, and I start to type.
What kind of computer are you using?
I'm using an Apple.
Oh, great. That's really...
An Apple
it's
computer.
It's nice to have something standard that kind of just, like, grounds us in this example, so our readers can and our listeners can sort of, like, latch onto that.
Yes, it's an Apple. A big Apple computer.
So, I just want to be clear. This is a Microsoft Apple MacBook laptop.
It's not a Microsoft.
Did I say
Apple
Microsoft?
Laptop.
We'll cut that. We've got to cut that out.
I don't think we should cut it. The listeners deserve to know
okay,
the truth.
They need to know.
Okay, what I was trying to say is it's an Apple MacBook, Steve Jobs style.
It's an Apple Steve Jobs laptop.
13-inch, 15-inch.
It's an Apple Steve Jobs 20-inch laptop.
Okay, great. So that's...
Classic Apple, just an Apple laptop.
The
Flips
more you say
open.
It, the less I feel like we're on the same page.
Yes, it is an Apple. An Apple. Apple laptop.
Great.
A Gala Apple laptop.
And are you using Google Docs? Are you using Words?
Yes,
Notes app?
Docs. Docs.
And do you ever go freehand on a pad of paper? Is it always the Apple Mac top laptop?
Oh, mostly on the laptop. Apple
sure.
laptop. You know, using Docs.
Mm.
Docs and docs. Notes and words. Pages.
I mean, this all checks out.
Yes, it does.
This all sounds like
I am using technology
computer lingo
to make my work.
That's so great. And I feel like that is an accessible part of the process that everybody listening can also kind of latch on to.
Yes.
Now, Colin, we were talking a little bit earlier about genres. Cassandra, I'm wondering if you would say that there's a specific genre that you write.
Yeah.
It's mostly fantastical fiction, mm-hmm. and self-help.
A lot of just like big kind of magical ideas.
Yes.
And then how do you make your life better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you say that, because just remind us again what the title of your book was. It was Boys, Boys, Boys. What's up with all the stuff that they do?
I don't really get Cassandra, but I want to. Can you help me? Question mark.
Is that sort of a genre that you sort of find yourself writing in? Sort of a
yes,
relationship?
Helping
fantasy self-help.
Yes,
fantasy
women self-help. Understand men and help men understand men and help anyone non-binary and otherwise to understand men.
So men are pretty confusing. Yeah. There's a lot of things. So why would they tuck a shirt in?
I don't know what's up with all the things that are going on with them. And I don't think that everyone else does either. So this is to help.
They might not even know.
Do you have any questions? Well, we don't typically do this, but since Colin and I are both men, do you have any questions?
This is the first time we're letting our audience know that.
Officially. Do you have any questions for us?
Why are you doing all of that stuff in the street? I saw a guy recently doing all this stuff in the street. Why was he doing all that stuff in the street? Can you tell me why he was doing so much stuff in the street?
I feel like it might be because he was a crossing guard.
No.
Or he had just seen the Truman Show, maybe?
Doing all this stuff in the street.
Maybe he was a skateboarder?
He had a lot of hats and doing all this stuff in the street, and I just wanted to know why.
Was he operating a vehicle of sorts?
I guess you could say it was a vehicle, but it really just looked like a trike, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to personally answer this question. What I would say is maybe he can, you know, he must just be a person living his life.
So that was a person living his life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that you're speaking for all men in that moment?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times.
That man's moment?
A lot of times when men have stuff to do, we take it to the streets and we're just going to do stuff in the streets.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you would describe this as fantasy self-help,
yes.
Your book. So we've been talking about genre bending and combining genres. Maybe we can think of some other new genres.
That's a good idea.
While we're here today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one that I was thinking about is, I know like historical fiction is a big thing. I really thought it was cool to sort of take something I studied in school and throw in this fiction element.
Science fiction is another big one.
Why not math fiction?
Math fiction?
That's nice. Well, don't you think that is kind of like the book, Laura, they just did the movie on it and it's the book. But it's a Tesseract.
Beautiful, not a Beautiful Mind.
No. It's a Mrs. What?
Oh, yes, A Wrinkle in Time.
A Wrinkle in Time.
That was math fiction?
I think that's a math fiction book.
Then,
I've also read another math fiction book. I had to read a math fiction book once in my high school by my teacher who also taught.
Miss Flynn?
Dance.
Mrs. Flynn?
No, that's a different teacher.
Okay. Come on, Miss Flynn was busy. She couldn't take on another class.
She was gym principal and
science. And my math teacher was Mr. Bo, and he taught math and also dance.
Sure. Well, and wait, what was the math book that he made you read?
I can't remember the name, but it was about lines.
It wasn't a textbook, though, right?
It was not a textbook. No. It was meant to have a narrative.
I guess I was thinking like 2 + 2 = 7 feels like math fiction.
Oh, yeah.
This was that kind of book.
Okay.
In fact.
That's pretty goofy. Well,
this one might be up Miss Flynn's alley. What about gym fiction?
A person who could do 100 push-ups?
Gym fiction is pretty, that seems nice. Isn't that most erotica?
I guess the physicality.
Yeah. Okay, so it looks like a lot of these genres have already been bended.
What about like a home ec noir?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Like a mystery thriller combined with home economics.
Isn't that like the Hardy Boys or like Nancy Drew?
Yeah, because they're just sort of like living their day and learning how to be a person, but at the same time, they're also solving mysteries.
Coming up with a new genre is kind of difficult. What about
pain secrets?
So okay, you're so combining pain
yes.
with keeping a secret?
Yes.
And you want to make it a book? So like what would the story be?
Mother was at home and father didn't know it. And the baby was in the bath. But who was with the baby? It must have been brother. But brother couldn't tell mother. Mother would have killed brother.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So brother had to take the baby. Slap! Papa had been struck by grandma, who was dead. But mother wouldn't come to the rescue for Papa. She was in the house unawares. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that.
I'm fully into that idea.
And I love the use of question marks.
Yes.
That's
my favorite shape.
It's the best shape.
Squiggle dot.
I have one last genre bending idea. What about an autobiographical mystery novel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Where it's sort of a story of your life, but you really don't know what happened to you and you're trying to figure it out.
That's kind of exciting.
I guess that's kind of most autobiographies.
I love that.
People are piecing it together as they go.
Yes.
So it'd be your own...
It's for you and it's for everyone else.
Right, exactly.
It's your own autobiography.
Yes.
But it's a mystery.
So you're trying to kind of figure out how it ends.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, it probably ends in death.
So you, mm-hmm. you start with the end.
Yes.
I mean, not necessarily.
Well, you could start with the end, but then it's like in movies when they're like, you're probably wondering how I got in this situation.
Oh, maybe something like, if it ends with death, maybe something like, I came to... Mm-hmm. There's a little bell next to me in the casket.
Inside of the casket.
I can hear the faint sounds of teenagers having sex on top of me.
Happening just above. Yeah. Very brief, very quick.
Which I think that could also be the title of your autobiography. I can hear boning just above. That's,
shivers down my spine or someone else's spine.
Do you want that title?
I would love that.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Okay. Should we get to our segment, our final closing segment that we love?
Yeah. Let's do it.
So we have this new segment that we love and we've been doing for a long time because it just is so fun. And it's definitely not just like a cheap way to try and get people to listen because it's really been
taken off.
Everybody just fucking loves it. Yes. And it's fun for us. Yes. And basically what we do is we reveal the title of our upcoming book and then the first sentence of it.
Oh.
So it's just sort of a fun teaser.
And we really can't stress enough, like, it's been taking off. Like,
Everybody's clamoring. Our listener loves it.
I love your listener.
Should we just say hello? Well, I guess I don't know.
No, we should.
I would say hello to our listeners.
Hi, Mom. And so it's just good to check in.
Yeah.
So I'll go first. And I believe my title was Suddenly I Hear Boning Up Above.
Yes.
So that's the title. This book is coming out, I would say, this summer, except I've got a really busy spring. So we're going to see how quickly I can write. And then the first sentence of it is, I open my eyes, pitch black. Well, I do sleep in a blacked out bathroom that I've been renting from a Ukrainian family in the Upper West Side. So that makes sense. But I can feel the walls around me. That's not normal. Hey, what's this thing in my hand? It's a rope. Pull it. Ring, ding, ding. Okay, I'm beginning to think I got married. So that's just a little taste of how this book starts.
No, was that a sentence?
That's the opening sentence.
Oh, okay, I'm just making sure I understand.
Yeah, it's just one sentence.
I understand.
Virginia Woolf style, stream of consciousness.
You're just kind of writing.
Into the river with pockets full of rocks.
And I just want to, this is a quick writing tip for any new writers out there.
Yes.
If you find you got three sentences,
mm-hmm.
Just pluck those periods out.
Make it one.
Make it one.
Yeah.
We are the world. Let's make the sentence one sentence.
Yep. I feel like punctuation is the borders dividing our countries.
Yes.
Colin, do you want to go next?
And please
make it good.
Of course
really
I want
to
go next.
Sum this up with something strong.
I mean, we got to give the listeners what they want.
Yeah, they've been clamoring for this.
So my upcoming book is called The Mind Gremlins Are Screaming Again.
Okay.
And
wow, this is part of your series.
Yep.
Another Mind Gremlins book.
I love that.
I mean, they're popular, but he is really just sucking
Mind
at
Gremlins,
this.
Mind Gremlins, that's really nice. That's a nice title.
When you have something that works, I mean...
It's a real series of unfortunate events.
Yes. That's also the name of Colin's autobiography.
Yeah, and I guess just to let anyone who hasn't read any of my Mind Gremlins book, it is not talking about voices inside your head. It is actual gremlins that... burrow into your skull.
Colin's got rats
in his brain.
We don't have time to get into this, Cassandra.
I don't want to get into where I draw my inspiration from, but
Do
I will
you draw
say
it from the rats in your brain.
They've been chewing. Colin, please give us the first line of this book.
Easy. So the first line of this book is
And just you can just read it off of the note.
Yeah, I have my book right here.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, read it from the book.
I'm just gonna read it from
Colin,
the book. Like,
go ahead and read it.
I'm gonna read it, and you can hear the pages turning.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I'll just
they need to know.
I'll just read it from the book. Well, there's another gremlin. Long tail, mouse-like body, but bigger. Oh. And it's trying to squeeze into my nose again.
Oh, nice. It's dialogue.
Last time.
I love when we start in media res.
Well, I know what happened last time I tried to stop a gremlin from getting into my nose, so I think it's best if I just let it do what it's gonna do. Hopefully I get a story from this. And so that's the first sentence. Yeah.
Oh, that's honestly very exciting.
Yeah.
It's very inviting. It's we've started and something's happening.
We're here. We're in it. Yeah. There's no unnecessary preamble.
You always start with an animal climbing inside of a human's body.
Or whatever works for you. Now, Cassandra, would you like to give us the title of your upcoming book?
Oh, sure. Let me crack it open.
Yeah, that's good.
I did bring a copy with me today.
Yeah.
You brought we asked you because, as we said, you know, this is just what our listeners love.
I know that everyone's
and it's
everyone's
fun for
clamoring.
Us too.
Everyone's wet to hear this.
Yes. Sopping.
Just sliding out. Yes, this is from my new. It is a cross genre fantasy self help book.
More genre bending.
So this is why you're in that tree there. And that is why you're in that tree there. Why you're in that tree there.
Can I just ask, is this the sentence repeated three times in a row?
Yes, it is repeated three times. Great. That wasn't
why you're in that
why
tree
you're
there.
In that tree there.
I shouldn't have interrupted. I'm so sorry.
Why you're in that tree there. Why you're in that tree there. I'm deep inside of the tree. And I don't know how I got inside. Oh, where did they all go? I wish I had some help. Hi, I'm going to be guiding you today. And this is the beginning. So strap in, young lads. That's the first.
And what is the title of that book?
Why? You're in that tree there. Right.
I love when a narrator just eases you into it, says, hey, I'm going to be guiding you.
Yes.
Take me by the hand.
Yes.
Here we go into the book.
It's very nice.
Cassandra, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Do you need us to get you a car home?
Oh, I would love that, actually. I'd actually really love that. It feels like you've promised me a few things today that have been...
I was kind of hoping you would just politely decline.
Oh, no. I never decline anything. My mother taught me to never decline. Always take it, Cassandra. Always take it.
Well, we'd like to just end by asking if you have any advice for young writers, aspiring writers. Listening.
If it doesn't work in America, bring it to Germany.
Thank you so much, Cassandra. And that's the end of that chapter. Wow. Powerful stuff.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.